Continue our journey through the book of Judges. And let me tell you, folks, Judges is not an easy book. It's not a book of smooth stories, you know. It is a story about sin and sin and sin and more sin. And it's amazing. So we're going to continue if you turn to Judges 15. I think that's why we have the book of Ruth right after, because it smooths it down a little bit. Just kidding with you. Okay. So Judges 15 as we continue this. And tonight is, the title of the message is, It is Payback Time. It is Payback Time. With this thought, before I read this verse and we pray, let me give you this thought tonight. Is revenge ever right? Is revenge ever right? Well, let's look here at Judges 15 and look at verse 1. And it came to pass within a while after, in the time of the harvest of the wheat harvest, that Samson visit his wife with the kid, and he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But the father would not suffer him to go. And the father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her, therefore I give her to thy companion. It is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tails to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, Who had done this? And they answered, Samson, the son of in law of Timnath, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, So ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and tight and with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of Rock Eaton. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a story right here we have tonight, Lord, of vengeance. It is vengeance, right? Lord, when we think we right in our own eyes, is ever right to do justice with our own hands? Lord, is his story here for us to chew on and to dissect tonight. And I pray, help us, Lord, if we have vengeance in our heart and mind, help us, Lord, that we find peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Is vengeance ever right? Well, wrath and anger, when allowed to go unchecked, can turn dangerous. Listen, folks. It is easy and natural to us when somebody robbed you the wrong way, somebody does something wrong to you, to play vengeance. I'm going to give you a story. It's my story, okay? I'm not proud of it, but I was young and stupid. Probably 16, 17, 16. My dad had a vineyard, about 2 acres of vineyard. Maybe an acre. Make everything big. We went to St. Michael and everything looked small. So I said 2 acres. About an acre of vineyard. And he had some clearing spots. And in those clearing spots, my dad used to plant watermelons and melons and all kinds of different things there. Well, there was this fellow or those fellows that when they, we had a door to get in. Of course, everything was... It was natural walls and like pl- plants down, like let's say bushes that we had. You can get in, couldn't get inside. So those guys went to the door. We can see because they busted the door in, and they went to the vineyards, and they really literally took as much as they wanted. Talking about the melons and the watermelons and the cucumbers and they took it. And as young kids, they began to, in a place my wife knew well, close to the beach, that platform high, they were sitting there, and they began to joke with me and tell me what they did in my dad's vineyard. Young and stupid, 16 years old, I look at them, I smile, and I said, "You're going to pay for this." So what I did, as clever as I was, I got this great idea. Because they said, I said, if they go again, they're going to get hurt. So I went right inside the door. When you walk in this vineyard, let's say this is the pass-through, and I dig a hole about this deep, this wide. And I went and got some 5-inch nails. Nail on the board, and a board as big as the hole, and I put it on the bottom, and I put some bamboo sticks on the top and cover with dirt. Guess what happened? They got hurt. They got hurt badly. The same guys. But I said, today I look back and I'm not proud of it. I call that young and stupid. So this is my story. I was not very good in those days, young and stupid, and I thought I was doing justice. Until I saw the guys, one of them had a hard time walking because he got infected. Get nails in your feet. I got a nail in my, I don't know how that's hurtful. But I felt good. Believe me, I felt good. It was vengeance. I felt good. I felt like justice was done. They're like, I'm going to... Until I saw one of the guys got worse than the other. And today I look back and say, I was not good. That was not good. Vengeance is mine. I will repay it, saith the Lord. Not us. Well, that's what we have here in this story right here. So today I use my story. See, I'm not perfect. I have my stories, okay? So, wrath and anger, when allowed to go unchecked, can turn dangerous. These are many conflicts amongst people because of the rage and anger. When we allow anger and rage, and when we begin to think that, okay, justice got to be done, and I'm the one who's going to bring that justice to you. When we forget God and we forget authorities, so we're going to take justice in our own hands. And let me tell you, through the years, through the ages, this thing happened to many people, where people take vengeance on their own hands. Now, and when we take vengeance, like Simpson right here, we think we're right. We think we're in the right thing. Oh, I'm going to do it because I am right. And sometimes, you know what? Most of the time, we are that wrong. So now, anger many times is simply expressed in words. But far too many times, words of rage and anger turn into actions. You have to be careful. You see this picture in domestic violence. For an example, there are verbal abuse at home. The husband and wife throwing words at each other. But when a hand goes up, and physically one hits the other, that's it. That's the beginning of many times of so many physical conflicts in the home. And unfortunately, let me tell you this. I work in construction. I don't know about you, brother, but I work in construction. And a few good times, guess where we stand? In front of the husband and the wife. They didn't even care that we were there. We're walking around. We heard the noise, and we look, it was like they were in a fist fight. I'm like, oh my goodness. Now we go like my dad, go separate those guys. I happen to a few good times. You work in people's homes, and that's weird. I said, why in the world? It goes, people do that. They begin to, they pass that line, and it comes to that physical part. So domestic violence, or even in a workplace, among friends, road rage or other situation, when a person goes and sits and feeds his mind and his heart on anger, it is never a good thing to do or neither to be in. When we begin to feed on anger, and a rat sets in, and we begin to think we're right in our own eyes, and we begin to feed and say, now I have to bring justice, and we think we're right. It's never good. When a person nurses anger in his heart, that sort of revenge, the thought of get even becomes very real. And many times that thought becomes reality in the life of so many people. Can we say that Samson was one of those guys? Yes, he was. When we last saw Samson, he was heading back to his father's house, and his wedding feast was, he walked away from everything, and he went home to be with his father. He killed 30 Philistines because he lost the bet. That was last week. He gambled with them. And guess what? He lost the bet, and then he killed 30 Philistines to give them the stuff because he didn't have it. Now he went back with the tail between his legs because he lost. Now he went home. Now Samson was home. He had plenty of time to put the thoughts in his mind and say, okay, I did this, I did that, I was wrong. But now Samson went home and fed on his wrongdoing. You see, listen, this is one thing for us to take a break and sit down and say, let me sit down right here. Let me meditate on what I've done. And put thoughts together and filter them through God's Word. And say, oh goodness, I was wrong. I need to go apologize to these people. I need to go back and apologize. No, he fed on the wrong. He thought he was right. And now, you know, guess what? He's going to go back and he's going to continue his doing. As we have seen so far, Samson is nothing but a good, As we have seen so far, Samson is not anything good for an example. He was born to be a judge of Israel. He was set to be, he was sent by God to be a deliverer of his people. All we have seen this far is a man that cannot control his passions. Folks, lots of people out there, you cannot control their passions. You know why they get in trouble? Because they cannot control their passions. There's people that they think, you know, they let their passions loose, and they find themselves in a slew of trouble. In this passage, we will once again see the selfish side of Samson. And let me tell you, folks, it's easy to look at the Bible and to look at these stories and say, oh, look, what about us? Am I selfish? What about us? Am I revengeful? What about us? Do I gamble? What are all these things? I mean, do I do all these things? It's easy to look at the stories in the Bible, but let me tell you this. We should filter that and look at ourselves. Do I need to learn from these stories? I think we do. And I love to go through the Bible. I mean, let me tell you why. Because you don't pick the topic. The topic picks you. Okay? So you don't have to pick topics. It's right there. So these lessons will help us to see that getting our revenge against those who wrong us is never right, nor is worth the cost. Let's consider this lesson tonight. Let me put it this way. I learned this way. Don't go down to their level. When we get down to their level, that's when we become revengeful. That's when we want to get even. You know, two men's get into a fist fight if both want to fight. If one walk away, the other one go, oh, what's wrong with you? He's going to call you all kinds of names. But it takes a man to walk away. Because when somebody's insulting you and you're walking away, that's hard to swallow. Very hard to swallow. But it takes a man to walk away. You show that man that you're more man than he is. As he said, I'm not going down to that level. Number one, we see Samson planned to return to Timnath. Samson's plan to return to Timnath. We see this in verse 1 and verse 2. So the smartest thing for me and you to do is to always make our plans, including the Lord. Let me tell you something here tonight. Listen, Samson went home. He sat down. Let me sit down right here so you can take a picture. He sat down like this. He sat down and he made plans to go back to Timnath, but he didn't put the Lord in his plans. And you know what? It's always dangerous when we make plans and we exclude the Lord. Isn't this guy a Nazarene? A Nazarite? Isn't this guy supposed to follow the ways of the Lord? No, he goes home. He's hurt because, you know, he lost a bat. And he goes home to his father's house. And there, he makes plans to go back to Timnath. But God is not included in his plans. And let me tell you, that's the problem of so many Christians. So many Christians. They do all kinds of plans. They plan over and over. They make all these plans. And where's the Lord in those plans? Nowhere to be seen. That is a mistake. Actually, it's a colossal mistake. The smartest thing for us to do is to include the Lord in our plans. I'm not saying big plans. Include Him in your little plans. Include Him in your big plans. Actually, when you start your day, include the Lord in there. Right in your plan. When you start your day, include God. Lord, go with me. Help me throughout the day. And include Him in everything you do and say. Otherwise, we're making a mistake. If we include the Lord in our planning, our plans will go according to His will. And in that end, we will reap blessings. Samson didn't learn this lesson. He continued to live his life planning without God. And let me tell you, folks, let me go back to us as Christians, how many times we plan without God. Far too many Christians plan without the Lord. What we see here is planning without including the Lord never really works out. Samson went home and had plenty of time to think about his life and put things in the right perspective, but he did not. Instead of thinking about who he was, a Nazarite, and fulfilling what God called him to do, he plans to go back. He has nothing. It was nothing there for him. That woman was a Gentile. There's nothing there for him. He should stay where he is in his father's house. No, he went back to the same place. Let me tell you, folks, how many times Christians, they go to the places of sin. They're there for a season. They come back to the father's house. And they, after a little season, they go back to the same place. Why we go back to the same place? Let me put it like this. Did you ever saw an open cesspool? Does it stink? Is it dirty? All right. Imagine this thing like this. All right. So a Christian goes to the cesspools of sin. He gets out of there stinky, dirty. He goes to the Father's house. And the Father, with His love and compassion and forgiveness, washes this kid up. And this kid is like an ice clean. He smells good. He give him the great smelling soap and shampoo. Give him a great towel and all that. And before you know, he goes and dives back in the cesspools. It's exactly what Samson does here. Many Christians make the same mistake. They get saved, and instead of following the Lord's guidance for their life and allowing the Lord to work in them and through them, they return to the old form of life. Letter A, we see the great plan. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass, within a while after, in the time of the wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife and with the kid, and he said, I will go into my wife, into the chamber, but the father would not suffer him to go in. It amazes me how many times our plans never work the way we plan it in the first place. This guy goes home. This guy sits around planning what he's going to do to go back to Timnath. But he doesn't understand that, you know, he goes there, but somebody already changed his plans. How many times we get out of bed in the morning, we have our day all, we know exactly what we're going to do. I'm going to do this. We plan the day before. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And as soon as you get out of bed and everything's messed up. Been there? I mean, 2 weeks ago I said, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to do this and this and this. I get up almost, what, 7 o'clock? It's like, that's messed up already. It happens all the time. This guy sits back and he plans for a long time. He had plenty of time to plan, and he goes there. Somebody changes plans. As I said earlier, Samson ran away from his own wedding in anger. He stayed, and he never stayed to consume the marriage. After time, his anger cooled off, and Samson decides to make amends with the bride. He brings her a nice present, something that every woman desires. Look what he brings, a goat. He goes to her with the idea that it will consummate the wedding and settle. Honey, when I bring you a goat, would you be pleased with that? I was reading this. I was like, oh, my goodness. Just bring a goat. You'll be just fine. Plenty of milk there. Anyway. Oh, he goes there in so it is Samson's idea, but that is not how things turn out. All the time that Samson spent planning for that day just vanished away in a moment. That'll be, we see the problem. Look at verse 2. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore, I have her to thy companion. I give her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. You know, the father said, I'm not going to wait for this fella. Oh, I give her the young one. I give her to somebody else. That is amazing. Samson had plenty of time to plan to return, but this plan didn't match his father-in-law. And it happens all the time. Listen, your plans is not somebody else's plans. Follow that? If you're married here, your plan might not be your wife's plan. You go home, you want the furniture in the same place, and you go home and the furniture already changed all over the room. It's a, what happened in here? My plan that everything stay in the same place. Your wife look at you, my plan is to move everything around. Well, that's what happened in here. He tells Samson that as far as he is concerned, the wedding is off. After all, Samson demonstrated a lack of love for the girl when he just laughed the scene. Think about it. For an example, you are a father. Okay, your daughter is about to get married, and the gentleman just decides to take off on you. And he goes away for a season, then he comes back like nothing happened, and like, let's get the marriage back again. If you were a father, what would you do? You better just turn around and just get out of here, right? Well, he gave his daughter to another person, to another man, and Samson comes in, and he goes, well, I thought you hated my daughter. He assumed that Samson hated his daughter and he gave her to another man. Put yourself in this place. Oh, goodness. Can you imagine that if my daughter, the future husband, would just walk away and a month later decide to come back? I don't think he's going to be going to see a happy father there. I'm like, what do you think, playing around here? Let us see. You see the proposal. You see this in verse 2. Samson, your plans just went down the water, but what about a trade? I have a plan for you. Can you see this coming from the mouth of the father? So Samson leaves his home, goes to Timnath. He has a plan. When he gets there, the plans have changed. As future wife was somebody else, but somebody else have a plan for him. Have it happened to you? He encouraged Samson to take this pretty girl's sister instead of the girl Samson was set to marry in the beginning. So the father must have believed that Samson didn't really love the daughter, but was just attractive to her, or physically attractive to her. So I said, well, I give it the other one. The other one is prettier, so I think he's going to be okay. Samson is learning a valuable lesson in a very hard way right here. He was learning that you cannot trust the Philistines. You shouldn't trust them. Samson was been cheated by these people in three ways. Number one, he lost his bet with the Philistines because they cheated by threatening his wife with that if she wouldn't help them. That's how they found out the bet. Number two, his wife had been taken away from him and given to another man. And number three, the downside of a bride's price that Samson had paid for the woman had been forfeited as well. So I want to encourage you to remember that God warns his people again forming close relationships with unsaved people. I say, let me put it this way. Listen, it's not like we're going to segregate ourselves and live in a shoebox somewhere. But let me tell you, I would be very cautious. This is me. To go on business with an unsaved person. You say, wow, you're going to an extreme. No, that's me. And I think we Christians should take in consideration when we do some serious steps, how we go about with unsaved people. Their mind is not, they don't think the way you do. They don't live the way you do. So we have to be careful how we do. What about marriages? Many people marry unsaved people. They make that decision. What does God say? You say, well, that's old teaching. Well, that's Bible. That's Bible. You see, because everything is fine until what happens? Until the kids come along. He's an atheist. She's a Christian. He's a Christian. She's an atheist. See what happens in there? And the kids in the middle. I think we should think seriously before we make decisions that are going to impact the rest of our lives. I think it's a serious thing. I mean, I think that's people call me old-fashioned. I hope you don't call me old-fashioned. But that's if you call me an old-fashioned, that's fine. I'm an old-fashioned person. Well, so this includes friendships, our business relationships, our social relationships, and many other things. Believers need to be very careful about the kind of people they form close relationships with in life. The wrong kind of relationship can have a devastating effect on your own spiritual life. Listen, folks, friends can drag you to do things that you never even dreamed in the first place. It only starts with, oh, well, what's the matter with you? Why are you so afraid? Why are you such a chicken? Come this way. We'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Just a hangover tomorrow. You'll be fine after that. Be not deceived, the Bible says. Evil communication corrupts good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 13:20. So the kind of people we want to have around us are the type of that will help us to grow stronger in our relationship with the Lord. And that's what we need to do. Then we need to be people that build this up for the good of the Lord. Let me tell you this: to be good citizens, to be productive citizens, but also to have our relationship with the Lord to grow. And let me tell you, I'm not saying go segregate yourself. We can say that because the Lord commands us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, doesn't He? So we ought to tell the world about the Lord. But close relationships, we have to be careful. So the principal thought here is not that we should totally separate ourselves from a lost world, because we ought to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But let me tell you, if it was Samson in the wrong company, yes, he was. He was trying to marry a woman that was not even a Jewish woman, was a Gentile, a Philistine, an enemy of Israel. Number one, we see Samson's plan to return to Timnath. Number two, we see Samson's plan to get even. So instead of taking his defeat like a man and going home to regroup and seek God's will for his life, Samson's plan to get even. The problem with getting even is that it is impossible. Samson is about to find out that revenge always escalates for a bigger situation. He is about to learn that truth, the truth that violence always begets more violence. You see, revenge is a problem of so many people today. Let me tell you, sometimes you say, somebody did you wrong and you try to get even, but let me tell you, what we do is we create more violence on top of violence. It happens all the time. Letter A, we see his motivation. Look what it says in verse 3. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure? Look at Samson's language in this verse. He's not concerned about it. He's concerned about himself. He's concerned about what they have done to him. He is motivated by revenge and vanity. Notice that he even seeks to justify his action by claiming that they had done worse to him. Samson's motivation for attacking the Philistines are all wrong. Let me tell you this here. I'm sorry. Excuse me. What happens here is this, and it happens to all of us. When we plan revenge, when we plan to get even with people, we always think we're right. And we think we have the right to do it anywhere. So what we do? Sometimes we do it verbally. And we say we want to say, and we go back and you say, oh, I feel good. Oh, you deserve to listen to that. Ever been there? You might not say in their face, but when you got to a place nobody sees you, yes, they deserve it. We do that. And if you do it physically, we go out like, yes, you deserve every spank that you got. Only escalates to more violence. Listen, like I said in the beginning, it happens in the family. Domestic violence is one against the other. You hit me, I hit you more. You hit me, I hit you more. You say, well, but a woman cannot beat a man. Oh, I saw it. I saw it. And let me tell you, I see some ladies take care of their husbands pretty well. I'm not saying an average, probably the man is more advantaged than the woman, but I see some ladies taking good care of men. I work in many homes, and let me tell you, the things that I saw, oh my goodness. But anyway, what we see here is selfishness, and God's not in the picture, obviously, because if he put God in the picture, that revenge will die down. He should have been attacking them because they were oppressing the people of Israel. That's the reason why he should be attacking the Philistines. He should have been attacking them because it was what God had raised them for. He should have been attacking them to help deliver his people from the bondage or the oppression of the Philistines. Instead of that, Samson attacks the Philistines because he was mad about how he was treated by them. He's doing what God called him. He was not doing what God called him to do. He was, even if he thought he was doing, he's doing for the wrong reasons. Listen, folks, when we do what God calls us to do, God will bless it. Can you see that? This is a good place for us to stop and take a look of our own motivations. Daniel outlined, our motives for serving the Lord will determine our faithfulness to Him and will regulate our service to Him. When we serve the Lord because we receive some benefits in return, we will be shallow of our devotions to Him. When we perceive benefits is no longer there, though the benefits are no longer there, there will be a drop-off in our faithfulness and service. For instance, someone comes to church out of sense of obligation or out of a desire to be part of a social outlet, then they join a club and not in a lodge, not a church. They're there for the wrong reasons. Or someone serves in the church because they receive the thanks and gratitude of the congregation. If that thanks and gratitude dries up, so does their service. Let me tell you, when we serve it to the Lord. We don't expect. Listen. It's always nice when somebody say, good job, thank you. But if nobody tells you anything, would you continue to serve the Lord? I know a pastor. I tell you, I know a pastor. That he used to stay at the door of the church outside after the service. And I didn't ask the question. I didn't try to research it. One of his sons told me. He said to me, go tell my dad that it was a great message. I look at him, and I didn't even speak, and he said to me, because if you don't, he gets very discouraged. And he thinks that nobody likes him and nobody cares. Preach the word in season, out of season. If nobody taps you in the back, you just go on preaching the word of God, doing what God called you to do. And Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, kept preaching. Nobody was listening to. See, if we wait for a pat on the back from people, we are serving the Lord in the wrong way. We are to serve out of our heart and devotion for Him. And in the meantime, what we do, we are a blessing to people. There's a warning about seeking to attract people using gimmicks. Someone said, if you get them with coffee and donuts, you will have to keep them with a hamburger. It's true. Try to bait them to come in. You know, you have to do something for them to stay in, because they're in for the wrong reasons. So let it be, we see this scheme. We see this in verse 4 and verse 5. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put the firebrand in the midst between the two tails. Know what he does right here? I'm going to explain this to you. Samson is determined to exact his revenge against the Philistines. He catches 300 foxes. These animals are probably the kind of jackal that he used to roll Israel in the large packs. He tied them tail to tail, making 150 pairs of these animals. He ties a burning torch between their tails and sets them free. These terrified animals run through the wheat fields, olive groves, and the vineyards and caught everything on fire. That's what he did right here. This would have been a devastating blow to the economy of the Philistines in there. He didn't care. He was so revengeful that he says, "What I'm going to do." So he did it. The fire of revenge burned within Samson's heart. He was upset about losing his wife, but he's still smart from with the he was still hurt from what the Philistines did to him. So he's going to say, "This is what I'm going to do to you." Can you imagine when he sees those things going on? He goes, "Yes, they deserve it." That's what revenge does in our hearts, isn't it? We think we're right. We think we're right. We're going to do it, and we do it because we know we're right. And he takes justice in his own hands right here. Folks, don't let the feelings of revenge take over your heart, but give it to the Lord, all of those who have wronged you. And then the Lord says in the New Testament, pray for your enemies, do good to those who do wrong to you. That's what we need to do. Somebody does wrong to us, what do? We return the favor? No. Somebody's rude, unkind, mean to you, what do? Return the favor? No. Vengeance is mine, I will repay it, saith the Lord. Let God be God, and let's trust Him. Because I believe if we play revenge on people, we're not trusting God, are we? Look what it says in verse 6. Let us see, we see the ramifications. Look at verse 6. And then the Philistines said, "Who had done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of Timnath, because he had taken his wife, given her to his companion." And the Philistines came and burned her and her father with fire. Now you see what happens right here? All right. These guys did this to Samson. Samson get revengeful, does it back to them. Now, we got two victims in the middle. He said, "We can get to Samson, let's get to them." You know, folks, that happens to people. We can get to him, we get to his family. We cannot get to her, we get to their kids. People play back and forth. So as revenge, it escalates to more violence. And of course, he gets even more mad because now he sees that the girl and the father got killed. So be careful, because for every bad decision, there is always and always will be consequences. The woman he wanted for wife died with her father because because of his bad revengeful decision. He probably thought that it will be the end of the matter, but but it was not. They said, "You know what? He did that to us. Let's do back to him, not directly to you. We go indirectly." And let me tell you, when there's cases like that, there's always somebody, innocent people, that get hurt in the way. Let me put it this way. All right, some of you are married here. And some of you, those who are not married, just learn. Okay? You got a husband, you got a wife. They play boxing matches every night. Who's watching? The kids. Who's getting hurt? The kids. Oh, they'll be okay. No, they're not. You see what I'm saying, folks? Let's make peace. Let's trust the Lord. Let me tell you something. Some homes are nothing but heavy-duty boxing on a regular basis. Sometimes the box is verbal. The words that come out, they cut people like knives. Sometimes it's just physical. Somebody always gets hurt. "Oh, don't worry about it. This fight is between us, not between you." Well, they're involved. It is never God's will for us to seek revenge against those who hurt us. Most people think that they have to defend their honor. If they are attacked, they think that it shows weakness on their part just to take it and let it go. Now, let me give you some food for thought right here. Okay? I thought about this very seriously. Thinking about revenge, be vengeful. I was thinking about this. Okay. Let me give you an example. I can take anything that anybody can throw at me. You know, despicable words, unkind things. I can take it. I can move on. But I thought about this. What about somebody hurts my family? I'm talking about physically hurt my wife, my children. How would I respond to that? I mean, it's easy for us to look at a story right here. And we know what the Lord says in His Word, don't we? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I'll give you a story. True story. I don't know if they were Christians or not. This man literally abused his daughter, and killed this little girl, teenage girl. He got caught and put in prison. Court day came about. He was there. As he walked by, the father and the mother walked by this accused person, this accused man. The accused man began to laugh at them. Literally, you can see in the video, I'm laughing at them. The wife opened a purse, got a gun, and shot him in the head right in the courthouse. Was that right? No. But you see what happens sometimes in a human heart. So we take this into consideration. I was thinking about this. If somebody would harm my family, will I trust the Lord? Or would I be revengeful? And to me, I can take it through the years, but I'm very sensitive to my family. I think it's food for thought, isn't it? It's very food for thought, because if when you're in that situation, you see, let's go to number three. Samson's plan out of control. This man didn't need to be where he was. First of all, everything started because of him. Innocent people didn't need to die either. They died because of him. One thing that we can learn from this is that our bad revengeful plans always brings consequences. Unfortunately, Samson didn't learn his lesson at all. When he hears about the death of his wife and his family, he takes the things to the next level. The violence just continued to escalate. And it happens. You see, that often happens. If this is the story we can apply to our lives, that can just happen. Let us say we see the retaliation. And he smote them, look at verse 8, with them hip and thigh and with great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Itten. So this verse says that he smote them hip and thigh and with a great slaughter. It refers to a total absolute slaughter. Samson killed them all. This man killed all the Philistines. He killed all of them. He did not stop until they were all dead. He got the ultimate revenge against the enemies that took the lives of his future wife and his father-in-law. Often the world seeks retaliation in the same way. Someone attacks a family and they turn murder because of what they have done. And let me tell you, like I said about this thing in the courtroom, it happens all the time. Retaliation, it goes back. But let me tell you, but if Samson would stay home and obey the Lord and follow the Lord, those stuff would never happen. You know, sometimes it happens to all of us here. Let me tell you, sometimes we need to stay where the Lord put us there. Don't move out of there. Because when we move, we will go get ourselves in a lot of trouble. Samson didn't need it to be in Timnah. Samson didn't need to look at that woman. Samson needed to stay home and follow what the Lord called him to do. And let me tell you, when we're not in the Lord's will, we fall in the same path. All of us. Let me tell you this about revenge. A lady was sick, so she went to the doctor. He examined her, did a number of tests, and told her the bad news. He said, "I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but I'm afraid you contracted or you have rabies." The doctor left the room for a minute, and when he came back, the lady was just writing names. And he said to her, "So what are you doing, writing your will?" She said, No, I'm making a list of all the people that I'm going to bite." People are so revengeful. See, she had rabies. Now she said, instead of trying to get better, she goes, "I'm going to bite everybody that I know that need to be bite." Oh, goodness. Let it be you see the motive. Look at verse 7. It says, "Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease." Samson's reasons for seeking revenge were purely selfish. Look at the language of verse 7. He does not mention the Lord. He does not mention the nation. He does not mention the injustice of the Philistines towards the people of God. There's no mention of God's will at all in here. He's thinking about himself, his anger, his revenge, his feelings, and he was wounded and he's going to get better. And I believe after he killed all of them, he sat on that rock and he said, "Yes, you deserve it." And he probably looked at those things with great satisfaction. And let me tell you, that's what we do when our feelings are wounded, isn't it? We feel the need to get even. It's all about us many times. Let me tell you, I think it's something in our brain, even after we wrong and we think we right, and when we get even, we sit down and we satisfied. Ever been there? And we feel like we satisfied. It's like, "Yes, I feel good. You deserved it." Oh, goodness. If I tell you all the stories the things that I did when I was a teenager. I was not a troublemaker, but goodness, and looking back today, maybe I was one. But anyway. So we feel like, wounded, and we feel like we need justice, and we got to do with these hands of ours. But the Lord has a better way. So instead of attacking those who attack us, why don't we pray for them and love them in Jesus' name? Listen, folks, we live in a sad, sinful world, don't we? And let me tell you, I believe if we are to look around, and if you are in the midst of people every day, I think somebody's going to rob you the wrong way every day. Somebody's going to cut you off in the highway. Somebody's going to say something you don't like. Maybe you get home and you don't like the food that you're having to eat. Whatever it is, somebody's going to rob you the wrong way. So what are we going to do? We're going to just get mad of everybody? Are we going to get revenge for them? No. We have to pray for people. We have to care about people. He loved them in Jesus' name. So instead of seeking revenge, we should thank the Lord that he have been counted worthy to suffer with him. So instead of attacking others, we should do what we have been commanded by the Lord to do. We should practice fully forgiveness. We should forgive those who do wrong to us. Is that easy to do? Let me tell you. Folks, let me tell you this. Forgiveness or forgive someone is not an easy thing to do at all. You know the reason why many people never say, "I'm sorry"? Don't you notice that? We are so quick to tell. We are so quick to get even. But when we realize we're wrong, not many of us go back and say, "I was wrong, please forgive me." Or, "Will you forgive me?" Not many people do that. Because it's very hard. Pride gets in the way. And we won't say, "I'm sorry." Listen, Samson is the thing right here about him and his selfishness right here. After he did the great slaughter, he sat on a rock. Why he did that? Because he was satisfied with his revenge. And let me tell you, may we learn something tonight right here, and I'm going to close with this. May we learn something tonight right here. How many times we get revengeful, we get even with people, and we sit in our chairs and we say, "Oh, they deserve it. I feel good." Am I the only one? We are human beings here. Am I the only one? Oh, goodness. We've been there, don't we? Let me tell you this. Let's trust the Lord. And listen what the Lord says. Vengeance is mine. I will repay it, saith the Lord. Let's leave. Let God be God and let God make justice and let's sit back and let God do it. Let me tell you, there's a few times in my life since I became a Christian, quite a few times, people have been mean and unkind to me when I said, I quote that verse and I say, Lord, you take care of them. I'm just going to go on with my life. Is that hard to do? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. When you think, it's like, you know, I can take care of this in 2 seconds, and you have to die to self and say, Lord, take care of it. It is very hard to do, folks. And I believe you agree with me on that. It is hard. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture, Lord. Lord, help us not to be like Samson. Help us not to be revengeful. Lord, help us to trust you, Lord, in every aspect of life. And Lord, and trust you, Lord, even pray for our enemies and be kind to those who do wrong to us. Lord, it's not an easy thing to do. Lord, give us grace that we can endure those things. In Jesus' name.